there's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Hour 1 Podcast.
Friday in Nashville, it's a getaway day, a week away from the NCAA tournament where everybody will be taking off. And quite frankly, it looks like everyone has taken off here today. One game almost in the books, three more to go. We thank you for being a part of the program and a lot happening. Brandon Miller right now playing on the court with the Alabama Crimson Tide, and he is just a few miles away from where he grew up. A lot of fans here supporting him, trying to help him escape what has been a difficult 6 weeks in his life. He's been good, dropping a three-pointer right there as his team is making short time right now of Mississippi State. It's been a big game for Brandon Miller as he gets to come home for probably the last time as a collegian. Alabama in progress, ahead by a significant margin. They'll move on and play tomorrow in the early game. That's the 1 p.m. Eastern time. And then later on, Missouri and Tennessee, both teams squarely in the NCAA tournament. Seeding is the only thing really at stake there. Kentucky and Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt needs to win. They're about the last team left here that could get into the tournament with a victory. And A&M and Arkansas, A&M trying to, a lot of people think they're going to win this tournament. Arkansas, after a pulsating win last night over Auburn, another one and done in the SEC tournament, 2 years in a row for Bruce Pearl's team. Last year, they were the number one seed. This year, they went quickly. Is it the Kentucky Invitational? Haven't really felt that yet because Kentucky doesn't play until late tonight. We briefly got into this yesterday, and we're going to get into it a lot today. Bruce Feldman, his top 25 list. He and Mandel do this every year. Nick Saban's still number one. There are a lot of, quite a few in Bruce's poll that got your attention yesterday, and we always enjoy saying hello to Bruce. Bruce, good afternoon. Thank you very, very much. I know these lists are subjective, but it seems like your list yesterday has gotten a lot of attention. Good afternoon, and how are you? Let me say hello to Bruce one more time. Bruce, can you hear me?
I hear you, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing great. I apologize. We're at the basketball tournament in Nashville, so it's a little bit loud, but glad you're here. And let's start with the list. Certainly, some could argue Kirby Smart has moved past Nick Saban, although you wouldn't lose too many friends by arguing that Saban is still number one. Was that a close call at all, Bruce?
For me, Stu did a 1A and 1B. I wasn't going to do that. I think if Kirby's team next year can do the three-peat, which has obviously never happened in major college football, then I'd definitely be more open to that. But I think a lot of people have written off Nick Saban before and been proven wrong. So I'm not ready to do that. I mean, they just signed the number one recruiting class in the country, according to 247. I just think what he has done is so unprecedented in the sport. I don't think he's lost anything. It's not a knock on Kirby Smart. He's jumped Dabo Sweeney in my eyes, but I still think Nick Saban's still the gold standard in coaching in college football.
James Franklin, number five. Something tells me, Bruce, your Twitter feed's been loaded up on that, especially ahead of Ryan Day at number six. Kelly following Lincoln Riley, Whittingham, Leopold. Let's talk about James Franklin for a second. Certainly, you laid out a really good case. He's got strong credentials, but he has not been to the CFP. How did you come up with him at five?
Yeah, I mean, Paul, I think with him and the guys right behind him, especially you mentioned Ryan Day and Lincoln Riley, here's the thing I'm trying to factor in. You know, Ryan Day took over for Urban Meyer. He was promoted up. He basically kept a lot of the same pieces in place. And Lincoln Riley took over for Bob Stoops. Similar story. They were already rolling. Now, Lincoln did a really good job last year taking over USC when they're struggling. But what James Franklin took over at Penn State, they had massive NCAA sanctions. And he's got them not just to a Rose Bowl. They won a Big Ten. He beat Urban Meyer. I think you have to consider, you know this well, Vanderbilt was horrific when he took over. They hadn't had a winning, you know, a top 25 season in 60 years. And then in two of his 3 years, they were in the top 25. So he took over two really bad situations. You know, I'm factored in that probably more than a lot of other people do. And it's not like they're, you know, he's won 11 games in four of the last 7 years at Penn State. So I think he's got that program at a high level. I understand why people are like, wait a minute, these other guys have gotten into the playoff where he hasn't. I just think where he started from is so much different than some of the other guys we're talking about. And that's what I gave it, you know, that's what I was giving him credit for.
Couple of other ones, Bruce, and I realize, you just don't throw stuff up against the wall. You cover this game in and out, both at the Athletic and do games for Fox. Jimbo Fisher at 17, Stoops at 18, Hugh Freeze at 19, and here's the one that I think you've probably heard a lot about, Josh Heupel at 22. Square those for us, if you could.
Sure. I mean, let's start with Jimbo. I mean, you look at it, he's one of only five guys who are active coaches who have a FBS national title. The thing is, you know, he's really struggled. I mean, if you look at his last 6 years, he's only had two winning seasons in league play. He's been a huge disappointment to this time at Texas A&M. They were horrible last year with a lot of talent around them. So I didn't want to drop him out of my top 20 altogether, but I think you had to drop him because of it's been a while. He's had one really good year in the last 6 years, and he's been at A&M now, you know, five full seasons, and his record's worse than what Kevin Sumlin is, and they ended up firing Kevin Sumlin, you know, the next year. As far as having Stoops above him, I mean, he's at a place which has always been a basketball school. I mean, he's had two double-digit win seasons in the last 4 years. Nobody's won at Kentucky and done what he did. So I think it's a respect to him. Josh Heupel is a good argument, I think, to have. But what he did last year at Tennessee was fantastic, especially Tennessee has been down, and it's been a dumpster fire for a while. But Tennessee has had a lot of success. He got to UCF. I mean, Scott Frost was coming off an undefeated season. The program started to backslide a little bit under him. Like I said, I think he's done a terrific job, but if you look at his record against top 25 opponents, he's 9-10. So I had a hard time figuring out, when I look at what Mark Stoops has done, even what Hugh Freeze has done, you know, they have a longer track record of success, and that's why I had him. I mean, it's close, but again, you know, that was the difference to me, why Mark Stoops is above Josh Heupel, why Hugh Freeze is there, and how I sorted it out.
Talking to Bruce Feldman, I think you said something interesting, Bruce, at the beginning about Kirby Smart with a three-peat. Let's talk about Kirby Smart and Nick Saban's programs right now, because Saban's living not only off of the greatest resume in college football history, but the number one recruiting class. You juxtapose that with Kirby Smart. Just some thoughts on where these programs are and what you see as we turn the calendar toward the upcoming season.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fascinating to see, you know, certainly Georgia, the way he has recruited and the way that staff has developed talent. I think they're in a good position to make a run at a three-peat. Obviously, now you have a new offensive coordinator. Mike Bobo knows what he's doing in the SEC, but we'll see how that adjustment, you know, Stetson Bennett, you know, performed really, really well in big games. And so I'm interested to see the kind of how the SEC goes from what we've seen in the last couple of years with Georgia really flexing its muscle to see here's Alabama now, you know, bunch of staff shake up, which Nick Saban's been used to. Also, no Bryce Young. You know, you lose the best defensive player in the program. Jamar Gibbs is a big-time playmaker. I mean, I feel like if it was almost anybody else, you'd be like, all right, they're probably not a top-five team based on what they're losing, what they have to replace. But it's Nick Saban, and he's earned the benefit of the doubt on this. And you know by the, you know, how well he's recruited. I know there's still a lot of really gifted players, especially gifted big people, both on the defense and in the offensive line. But I'm curious what it's going to look like, because there's definitely uncertainty. I mean, you're sitting here looking at LSU, which returns so much. They're going to have Mason Smith, who missed almost all of last year, back. He is a potentially dominant defensive player, along with Harold Perkins, who was a revelation last year. We got a proven quarterback who seemed like he was really comfortable transferring from ASU. I mean, if there was a year where Brian Kelly could make a run at a playoff spot and a real national title shot, I would think this would be that year where you have a couple of young offensive linemen now of some seasoning, and Alabama's got a break in a new starting quarterback. Georgia's got a break in a new starting quarterback. Tennessee's going to do the same. And you have these other programs in the SEC West that are kind of in rebuild mode, whether it's Auburn or A&M. I mean, I'm really interested to see what LSU does going forward. I feel like they have a lot of momentum right now.
Bruce Feldman from The Athletic and from Fox sharing with us his top 25 list. Many thanks, Bruce. Always great to talk to you. As we head to the break, we're live in Nashville, of course. Many of the participants in the tournament will drop by. Alabama has won its first game, 72-49. Brandon Miller, 18 points. Tide was all over the place with three-pointers. They hit 13, the most they've made in the last five games. We are live in Nashville. We'll get a look at what's ahead the rest of the day here with Ron Slay.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And we welcome you back to Nashville. A lot of people will be joining us, including Braden Gall at the bottom of the hour. The commissioner joining us shortly, Nick Alvarez from AL.com. John Clay, legendary writer in Kentucky, Wes Rucker, and the Bobby Bones will join us late in the program. The so-called mayor, if he's the mayor of Nashville, what are you? Ron Slay joining us, dressed in the appropriate Tennessee colors.
I mean, some would say, Paul, this is a Tennessee color. Some would say it's Auburn, but it's the accent. As long as you throw some accent in there, you throw people off a little bit. Don't worry.
No action here.
Don't worry about it. It's all right.
So, okay, one game down. Alabama, from a distance, looked pretty good. I didn't watch every moment of it getting ready for here, but what did you see?
Alabama looked like the Alabama. They came out, shot the ball really well, spaced the floor, took advantage of the mismatches. When you look at a team like Mississippi State, you got to be able to pull those guys out. You got Cam Matthews, DJ Jeffries, and then you got a big fella in Tolu Smith. So it's going to be a matchup problem anytime you can get them matched up with a guy like Brandon Miller, whether that's cross-screening or whatever. Nato does a great job of being able to get those cross matches. They took advantage of it. And when you shoot the way they did, 21 assists on 28 shots, that's a different type of Alabama. So if they can carry that into the tournament, they got something good.
Let's look ahead to the rest of the afternoon. And you know, certainly probably the most important game from the NCAA standpoint is Vanderbilt.
Right.
They survived last night, but it gets a little more difficult.
Yeah, it does. I think they got a good appetizer to the meal that's coming up in Kentucky. Not only what's on the floor, but outside in this atmosphere as well. This is going to be overrun with Big Blue Nation. They come out in droves, as they should. It's only expected. So how do you counter that? You know, you're at home, you got to be able to go out and play your own game. And how do you make up for a guy like Liam Robbins? You got an opportunity last night to play a team that necessarily didn't depend on the big man. Kentucky has Oscar Tshiebwe down there. Chris Livingston, another big body. So you got to be able to counter that with Lee Dort, QMB, and hopefully Jordan Wright can rebound the way he did last night with 15 rebounds.
Let me ask you about crowds at neutral sites, because we talk about Kentucky, and, yeah, they make the most noise, but how important is that? I mean, obviously we know what home court means.
Right.
So the orange, I was thinking football.
Hey, we're everything's cool, Paul. Don't forget that. Say everything's cool.
What does it matter at a neutral site?
I'll tell you what. It always helps when you're playing tournament style and not just a neutral game, because in tournament style, you often get the Alabama fans, the Auburn fans, everybody cheering against the favorite, which would be Kentucky in this favor. So if you can come out and get that crowd on your side, you cannot drown them out, but you can get a little bit more backing, which will help you going down the long stretch of games, giving you momentum, push, motivation also. And you know you're at home, so it always helps to be able to kind of get that crowd on your side, because you can sway it. You can sway it just like the momentum of the game. You can sway that crowd as well.
Talking to Ron Slay, I want to talk about you for a second, because we know about your career. We know about what you've done since it ended. But you have you've emerged in the last couple of months as truly one of the biggest stars in college basketball from the broadcasting side. I want to go through this for a moment. I'm sure you had a master plan, but or did this just happen the way your personality overtook the screen?
I tell you what, man, it's to say I had a master plan and it was carried out, I'm not sure. If I did, I'd be on Bill Gates level and guys like that when it comes to the bank account, but not like that. But this is something I love to do. I got an opportunity and a platform, and it came through me getting ready to go back to Tennessee to get my degree, finishing up after I retired playing overseas. Get my degree, went on a media run talking about how important it was to get back. And I started at a small station in Knoxville, 99.1, got on there, and once I did it, I got off, and the host, Heather, was telling me, like, you may have a shot at this. I'm like, oh, cut it out, man. I'm trying to coach. I want to get into basketball and coaching. That didn't work. I did that 4 years, and then had an opportunity to start at a small station, an AM station in Franklin, Tennessee. It only reached probably about 5 or 10 miles, but I was right there every Friday faithfully in the drive time hour, and I kind of took a liking to it. I got my fix, and next thing you know, Vol Network gave me a shot. Cumulus 104.5 The Zone right here in Nashville gave me a shot, and it kind of just started bubbling. Next thing you know, I'm sitting right here with you, Paul.
I mean, I will just say, because, you know, when you do what we do, I mean, I'll be gentle here, but basketball analysts are basketball analysts.
That's true.
I knew you. We had talked before, but I'm sitting where I really noticed it the most. You know, we run some of those clips from your Saturday, and I'm like going, what is going on this screen right here?
Yeah. It's fun. I feel like if you can bring the personality that you had as a player, put it on set, and, you know, the camera adores me, Paul. I mean, I don't mean to figure out what's going on the set, but the camera, and sometimes you got to be able to play to that, you know, and I have an advantage, and I try to use that. My talent, I let that play, and whatever happens, happens.
Here's my problem, though, usually, and I hope nobody from the people we work for is watching, but sometimes those guys behind the scenes get in the way. I mean, they will say, hey, you gotta slow down. Listen, you're not going according to our script here.
Right.
I mean, as you go up to the network, these guys are good. They're organized, and they. I mean, I've done shows when I may have said the most controversial thing in the world, and the producer said, "Well, that's not what you told me you were going to say."
Right, you went a little bit off script there. Yeah, but I tell you this. Being able to work with the producers and directors behind the camera with us.
They knew what they were getting.
They knew what they were getting. And you got to say, it goes hand in hand. They allowed me to be me. You know, and that right there is where I can flourish the most. You know, I don't want to be pigeonholed and not being able to get the ball off the rebound and push it. Same thing if I'm on camera. I don't want to say, man, I can't pull out my headband and give it to Paul and say, put it on like you did last time. So, but I still got this, Paul, so I don't leave home without it. It's my calling card.
You know, by the way, I mean, I run into people around here. And by the way, they hand me pens. Insurance company, tire.
Right.
Is that what you're like with headbands?
This is exactly what it's like, Paul. This right here is the same thing you see with Clark Kent when he's looking for a phone booth. When I'm ready to transform, I'm looking for a headband. As soon as I see a headband, put it on, either physically or just, you know, imaginary. It's on right now, Paul, and I'm in character. This is me. You get the good thing is you get it all the time, though.
I would think, again, I realize you're an athlete.
Mm.
Well, you were.
Paul, listen, I done lost 35 pounds. I done slimmed up. I can still get – Josiah Jordan James hurt me. He hurt me a little bit, but he told me I couldn't play defense anymore. But he did acknowledge yesterday that I can get down there and give him 20 points. So, yes, I'm still an athlete.
But, I mean, what you do, it seems like it would be exhausting.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm watching I mean, when you're on stage, you're on stage.
Yeah, without
you don't
question.
Leave any – there's no gas left.
No, it's not. Like, I give it all to the performance. But I'm telling you, like, what people don't know that sit at home, we talk about the people behind the cameras and in the booth, they make it so easy for you. Like, they don't understand. You're getting talked to in your ear, and they're making it real, real easy for the prepping. And you got to do the work beforehand as well. Like, this is a show and everything, but the work that's put in beforehand – I promise you, it's a lot being done. A lot being done.
You work for the same people we work for?
hey, it's Paul. It's not me. See, a veteran can talk like that. Hey, I'm a rookie out here. I don't know what to say.
No, yeah. Ryan's got to read that script.
I better read the script. I got it right here.
You'll learn.
I will.
Ron Slay, one of my favorites as we're off and running here in Nashville. We'll take a short break. A lot more to happen. Coming up through this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flail.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Nashville on a Friday afternoon, and what an afternoon it is as we continue. Let's get some phone calls in here between guests. I know a lot of you are on the phones at 855-242-7285. We begin with Bubba in North Carolina. Hello, Bubba.
Hey, Paul. How you doing in Nashville today, buddy?
Bub, we're doing great.
Hey, Bruce Feldman just took over the top spot in the idiot bracket on the Paul Feinbaum Show. He delegated AJ and AC back to being tied for second.
Well,
there's no way Josh Heupel's listed as 22 right now. I mean, it doesn't make sense. He sits there trying to justify why he put James Franklin where he did, and then sits there and gives you this big crock about why Josh Heupel.
Yeah, you know. You know, right. Bubba, I've done those lists. I've been doing lists like that for 30 years. And the key to a list in my mind is the past doesn't matter. You can't let past performance, and what I mean by this, 5-10 years ago, have an effect. Chip Kelly shouldn't be on that list either. He's been abysmal since he came back, since Oregon. I mean, he's had moments at UCLA, but not enough. And you know, Saban is the exception because Saban is still at the elite level. But Josh Heupel easily ought to be in the top 10. Easily.
Yeah, I agree, Paul. I mean, you can go back as far as last season, I think, because that's relevant to where your program and your coach is headed right now in the present. And you can't deny Nick Saban. He's one of the top two coaches in the country right now. You can argue him or Kirby, and you have a legitimate argument either way. But Josh Heupel being behind some of these other coaches is ludicrous.
But again, Bruce can do it any way he wants, but I strongly disagree with some of those. But then again, if I did a list, it would be different than his. But I appreciate your thoughts on that, Bubba.
Yeah, thank you, buddy. You have a good day. Go Big Orange. Knock Missouri off.
You bet. I think that will happen. Eddie is up next. Hey, Eddie, go right ahead.
Paul, you look like you're having just way too much fun today there in Nashville.
It has been fun. It's been a great event, to say the least.
I penciled Alabama to go to Houston in the Final Four. They just appear to me be a team that's just playing with a chip on their shoulders. Nate Oates has a little bit of a, hey, guys, it's us against the world now mentality. What are your thoughts? And enjoy your show.
Thank you. Yeah, I think this was a, you know, people can argue pros and cons of the SEC tournament. What does it mean to a number one seed? I think what it does is it's a simulation for next week. And today, I mean, Alabama shot better than I've seen them shoot in a significant period of time. So I think that's a really good indicator for them. Matchups are going to be the key. I don't want to sound like a basketball expert, which I am not. But I'm subjected to enough of them to, hey, thank you very, very much for the call. Let's check in with Chip in Georgia. You're on the air. Hello, Chip.
Hey, Mr. Paul. How you doing today, sir?
Chip, we are doing great. Thank you.
Two questions very quickly. Number one, everybody keeps questioning the culture of Georgia football. I think it's all right. What's your opinion, sir?
I don't think there is a culture problem at Georgia. To me, these are things that happen in every program, and I think sometimes they're terrible. They're tragic. No words can describe what we've been talking about here for 2 months, but I feel like inside that program, it's mostly good. The difference is today, I mean, you got athletes who simply don't pay attention to their leaders like they used to. I mean, ultimately, though, programs need upperclassmen to take charge. And I think on the field that happened, but you know, most of these problems are out of season. And yeah, they may be 1 week out of season, but they're still out of season.
Yeah, Mr. Powell, I understand that, and I'm like you. I think George is good. And very quickly also, do you think that Coach Mike can bring our basketball team into prominence? Sir, I'll let you go after this. I appreciate your time.
I do. I think Mike White's a very good coach. And he was not appreciated at Florida because he was following something at Florida that was impossible with Billy Donovan. But I think he can build that program. I think what Georgia tried a couple of years ago with Tom Crean is not the right way to do it. You can't build a program at a place like Georgia in the express lane. He had the best player in the country, didn't matter. I think Mike White will develop players. He'll ultimately get a few difference makers, and I think that program it will advance. Aaron is in Fayetteville. You're on the air. Hello, Aaron.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
It's going great.
Can you? Just heard news that, you know, St. John's just let go Mike Anderson. Kind of wanted to hear what your input or thoughts were on that. And if you foresee him getting picked up by, you know, an SEC school and moving back down south.
Number one, I'm very sorry to hear that. I've known Mike 25 years and like him immensely. And he came close there. Problem was the media was after him. The tabloids were trying to get rid of him. In fact, one tabloid in New York today, you know, said fire Anderson, hire Rick Pitino. As if Rick Pitino is the magic wand for all bad programs. But I do not think he'll be a head coach again in the SEC. I think his time has passed from that standpoint.
Right on. Just wanted to hear your input.
Thank you very much. Great to hear from you. Donnie is in Arkansas. You're on the air. Hello, Donnie.
Hey, Paul. What's up?
We're doing great.
I was going to ask you about what do you think about the Red Base going to do in basketball this year? I mean, what do you think they're going to go far in the tournament?
I really like what I'm seeing so far. I mean, I think it's been an up and down season, but to me, I think yesterday was impressive. That was a game that nearly got away, but winning games like that matters a lot. And I feel confident that they're going to be in good shape. We're up against the break. We have a couple of guests that will be dropping by here, where the commissioner will join us shortly. Many more as we are off and running in Nashville.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, welcome back here live in Nashville as one game down, another game underway. We'll get back to your phone calls. The commissioner of the SEC joining us a little bit later on. Bobby Bones later. A lot of great guests here in Nashville as we are in the third day of the SEC tournament. Pat is in St. Louis. You're next up. Hey, Pat.
Hi, Mr. Paul. How are you?
We are doing great. Thank you so much for calling.
Well, I'm trying to watch my team here beat Tennessee this afternoon. I have a real quick question. Our wonderful new basketball coach, Dennis Gates, was named as the USA Today's basketball coach in the NCAA. I would like to know why the SEC didn't give him any respect. I think they did.
I believe they named him co. I'm trying to remember from memory here.
He did not get co-SEC? He did not get co. Okay. He did not. And then Hodge, our number five, he should have gotten Defensive Player of the Year. I heard all the SEC announcers last night say that, and this bias has just got to quit. That's all I can say.
I hate to disagree with you, but I'm going to, because the fact of the matter is that Gates – and Jerry Stackhouse shared the COA.
I don't believe so.
Gates was named the USA. Let me correct myself. Gates was named the USA Today SEC Men's Basketball Coach of the Year. Who was named the COA again?
I think it was the A&M coach. Is it
okay.
Fuzzy?
Got it.
Whatever.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm just.
I'm here to tell you, Pat, that everybody has different views. I think you could have named five or six coaches Coach of the Year. It just so happened that Gates won one, didn't win another. I mean, I'm not really sure what Buzz Williams was the other person there. I'm sorry, there's no clear winner for SEC Coach of the Year.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you. I mean, I think you could argue Nate Oates should have won. He exceeded expectations. Stackhouse dramatically exceeded Jans. I mean, you can go down the list, and I realize fans want their coach to win it, but it's not this is not an egregious case where one coach should have gotten it over the other. Sometimes that is the case. Buzz Williams did a phenomenal job, nearly won the league. So, Gates was – I mean, be happy you're going to the NCAA tournament. Be happy you had a double bye. Don't sue anyone. Let's talk to Kathy next in Georgia. Hey, Kathy.
Hi, Paul. I just want to first apologize because I cussed on the radio the other day. I didn't know I could use that word. But anyway, I want to just say that Georgia does not have no problem with their players. Our school is just like any other school. Our boys just got caught. But and as far as Nick Saban being the number one, he is. We all know that. And if we win, you know, the first time, Kirby will be on his way, but he's still got a way to go to beat Nick Saban. But Saban is the man, and we all know that. But you have a good weekend, and go Dawgs, even though we're not good in basketball. We are national champs.
Jane is up next in Kentucky. Hey, Jane, go right ahead.
Hi, Paul. I just wanted to talk to you a few minutes about the university game.
Sure.
Hello?
Go right ahead. You're on the air.
I just wanted to ask you about the University of Kentucky's game tonight and what you thought about it.
Well, I feel really confident. I think the Cats are playing a high level of basketball right now. They'll have the enthusiasm in this building. They are usually a major factor in this tournament, and I think they will be this year. It's not always a perfect indicator of how you've played. We've seen Auburn came in here last year as a pretty heavy favorite and lost in the first round, but I think Kentucky will advance tonight from my narrow view of the world. Liam is up next in Mississippi. Hello, Liam.
Hey, how are you doing today, Paul?
We are doing really well, thank you.
Awesome. Yeah, I just wanted to – what do you thought about that terrible loss we suffered today to Alabama? I couldn't even watch it, all. I could not watch it today. We got no points off the bench. It was just tough to watch. It was a tough season.
Well, it's a pretty inopportune loss for this reason. Right now, Mississippi State is at the mercy of the committee. This morning, the feeling was they would have a bye into the tournament. I'm not sure that feeling exists anymore.
Yeah, I thought this was really going to be our year to wreak some havoc in March, you know?
Well, listen, until you see where you're going next week, I wouldn't give up. But you were playing a team in Alabama that looked like the Alabama team of 4 or 5 weeks ago. I mean, this is a team that's beaten teams by 30, 40, 50 points. So you shouldn't be that surprised. They were on fire today. Bobby is up next in Oxford. Hey, Bobby.
Hey, Paul.
Good afternoon.
Can you hear me?
I sure can.
All right. I don't really follow basketball, but I had a question about Ole Miss. Replace a coach or whatever. Can you I'm not familiar with him. I wasn't familiar with the old coach. The last one I remember is the bald-headed tall guy. I forget his name, but
Andy Kennedy.
So what do you see the Ole Miss program growing, and are you looking at a 3 to 5 year window of rebuilding, or?
Hey, Bobby, could I ask you a question out of curiosity? Why don't you follow basketball more closely?
Well, I'm a retired Army, so I've been overseas.
That makes sense.
Ford and white, and I just never got into basketball. Now, I love baseball, but
okay. Anyway, no, I was just curious. What the deal is now is that Kermit Davis was there a couple of years, went to one tournament. Beard is highly regarded. He took Texas Tech to the national championship game and lost in overtime 4 years ago. He was coach at Texas. They were number one in the country, and they fired him under a very dark and dubious cloud. Ole Miss officials maintain that they have done the due diligence.
Their due diligence, right.
And he will very likely be the next coach. Thank you very much for calling, and thank you for your service to this country. Braden Gall will join us next, the commissioner a little bit later, Bobby Bones later on. We are off and running here in Nashville.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.